Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
Paul, wrapping up his letter to the church in Rome, he says something very interesting, and we read it a few minutes ago, and I think it's very relevant for the church today. Verse 19 of Romans 16, everyone knows that you are obedient to the Lord. This makes me very happy. I want you to be wise in doing right and to stay innocent of any wrong. Today I want to talk about obedience to the Lord. Our obedience to the Lord. Being obedient to the Lord. We can watch society and we can see where society has missed this. I mean, come on, just turn on the news, go out to the mall. Yeah, wherever you go, stand in line at Walmart. You're going to find real quick that there are people who are not obedient to the Lord. The sad thing about this is we have just not missed this in the world and seen, we can see this in the world, we can see it in the church. We see it in Christian people not being obedient to the world, to the Lord. The world teaches that there are no absolute rights and there are no absolute wrongs. Everyone comes up with their own morality. The problem is not that the world thinks this way. The problem is when the church starts thinking this way. That's when we've got a problem. See, the church ordaining and endorsing and accepting things that God says He hates, He calls sin. The church can adopt an okay to the stuff that God says I'm not okay with. But we've started thinking or avoiding topics in church that might offend someone. Each person needs to find out how they think on that. What is right in their own heart. You've heard people say, well, you know, if it's right for you. And I've heard it in church. If it's right for you, then no, the question is not whether or not it's right for you. The question is, what's God say about it? And are we going to be obedient to what God says about it? See, let's think this thought to the end. Let's today just begin our thinking on this topic with the end in mind. Where is this thinking going to take the church? If every generation changes to embrace the thinking of the culture. If every generation changes to embrace the thinking of the culture, where is the church going to be? Where's the church going to be? There's a tragic future ahead of us. Come on, if we keep allowing the culture to dictate how we think and view life. Here's why. Each generation is different than the last. Everybody will get that. Everybody gets that. We all deal with different things, and each generation is different. I'm not going to sit here and say each generation is worse, but as my few years of life I've watched, and I'm kind of leaning towards that. But each generation is different. Let's just go with that. Each generation is different than the last. Here's what happens. Nothing gets better on its own. It just doesn't. I mean, everything deteriorates and gets worse as time is added to it. The only place that things get better is in a liberal college classroom. And they sit there and they think all this stuff through, but they don't use real life as the example. Nothing gets better. See, everywhere else besides the liberal college classroom, you won't find a case for upward evolution. Everything is downward spirally. It's in a downward spiral, and it's not getting better. I have a standard that I have adopted by being married to Michelle Ellison that my house, my yard, and my truck needs to operate under this standard. Now, I have tried to adopt some of that, and I think I've gotten a lot better than I was 26 years ago. 25 years ago. But here's the thing. I fight daily to maintain that standard. I just do. I mean, I never walk out in the morning and go, wow, my truck just keeps getting clean. I think I'll take some dirt and throw on it. See, that thought never goes through my mind. It just never, just all of a sudden gets clean overnight. Anybody live on a dirt road? Know what I'm, anybody go to church at Christian Ministries? You don't go to church here and not have an opportunity for a car wash or just wake up the next Monday morning, my car's clean. I don't know what happened. See, that doesn't happen. That would be upward evolution. It never gets clean overnight. There's a constant fight to maintain the car, to maintain the house, to maintain the yard. If you're just waiting for a leak in your roof to fix itself, just know it won't happen. We thought this week would be a great week to fix a couple of the leaks that were going on in our church building. And so I sent Kenan up, and he said, I'm going to go look and see what's going on. He's going to fix a leak that we have right in that back corner. And in that back corner, if you look up, there's no insulation in the top because we're trying to find a leak. We've still not found the leak. All of a sudden, it just quit leaking. There's proof for upward evolution. But it wasn't a few minutes later, he walked back in, and he said, there's water everywhere, but I don't know where it's coming from. So it's not quit, it just halted for a second because we took all the soaking out. And he walked in and he said, here's the cool thing. Now when you walk in this door right back here, there's a waterfall coming out of the ceiling. We were just going to fix that one. We thought if we get that fixed, everything will be all right. But see, we're in a downward spiral. Everything gets worse. It doesn't get better unless you put your hand to it. Unless you put something to it. And so the constant trend of things spiraling downward is not going to allow society to decide what's morally right and wrong. It will spiral downward. Are you hearing me? And can you relate these two as I'm talking about this? It don't matter what you're talking about. Let me just say, because we're relating this to a car and a truck and a yard and a leak in a roof, that's the same exact way with your life. See, if you don't constantly maintain your life, it's going to spiral downward. You just got to know that. When you take God's standard and his word off, there'll be a downward spiral every time. Can anybody testify I've been there? See, you take God's word out and there's a downward spiral. Here's the problem. The standard we are living today needs to be a biblical standard as Christians. But we've got a constant society that's telling us, you decide what's right and wrong. You decide for yourself. And what happens when the church starts allowing that thinking in, then the church has lost its role in society. The church is not a social club that just does some social benefits. I can say this because we have one. It is not a coffee shop. You got to know that I know that, and we don't have a coffee shop back there just because we can provide all of the social benefit and then leave out the teaching of sin and the standard that God has called us to. Now, I'm not against a coffee shop. I'm just telling you that's not what church is all about. The church is a constant pushback to a society that's constantly eroding. We are the landscapers. We are the ones who has the home in order, the family in order, the lives in order, that provides joy and peace. Wherever you are, that ought to be the standard. That ought to be the standard that you operate. I'm the one keeping this society. I'm the one as a Christian that's doing my part to keep the society that I live in from eroding and just losing every opportunity we have for beauty. Romans 16:9. I want you to be wise in doing right. I want you to stay innocent of any wrong. See, there's a clear right and there's a clear wrong, and there's an obedience to the Lord that will provide that for you. The obedience that you walk into the Lord will establish, okay, this is right and this is wrong. God sets the standard and we're called to obey that standard. Let me just say today, just as a little disclaimer, This is not a popular message for the church today. This is not a popular message. But our theme for this year of holiness and being holy because we are called to be holy, we've got to talk about this. We got to talk about it, and we got to leave it as something that we operate under because we choose to. We got to quit as a church being afraid we're going to offend somebody. I was just talking to a pastor yesterday that said one of his biggest problems is he watches Fox News all the time. Do you realize the offense that came as a result of that statement from stage? The offense that occurred was horrible. Can't believe that you would talk about that. That's politics, and they can't be talked about in the church. If you haven't been here very long, and you're like, oh, so you guys talk about politics? Yep. We talk about everything in our life because everything in our life has to fall into obedience to the Word of God. And we're going to continue to talk about it. See, the church has quit teaching obedience, so therefore when we talk about anything in the world, we can't relate things to the world to the obedience of God for the Christian life because the world needs to be left the world and the Christians need to be left just all over here. Well, how are the Christians going to affect the world if we don't talk about how? This culture cannot set right and wrong. Individuals cannot set right and wrong. All you teenagers, listen. Your friends don't set right and wrong. So don't go home and tell your parents, well, my friends are doing it. My friends said, my friends get to do this. Your friends don't set right and wrong. We're going to run this home on a biblical principles that have been proven to work. And I'm not looking at your friend for the approval of what works and what doesn't. I'm looking to the Word of God. And so right now, the Word of God says, I'm your parent, and I'll make the decisions. And when you can learn to be obedient to me, when you leave me, you'll probably be obedient to the Lord. Said all the time. For sure, this year our theme, a holy generation. Everyone knows, Romans 16, everyone knows that you're obedient to the Lord. Let me ask you this question. Do they? Do they? Everyone knows that you're obedient to the Lord. Do they? Do they? Do they know that? Not because you go tell them, but because they see it. Do you know? Does everyone know? Or when they find out you're a Christian, are they like, you're a Christian? Really? You go to church? Well, I just don't want to make a big stink. I want to try to witness to them through the back door. Paul's writing and says, everyone knows that you're obedient to the Lord, and that makes me happy. So that tells me that we shouldn't be bowing to the culture. The culture should be influenced and impacted by us, which means we don't go in through the back door. We're the ones that set the example and people follow. Romans 16, jump back a couple verses, 17 and 18. I now make one more appeal, my dear brothers and sisters. Watch out for people who cause division and upset people's faith by teaching things contrary to what you've been taught. Stay away from them. Verse 18, such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They're serving their own personal interests. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. Watch out for people who upset your faith. They start teaching something contrary to the Word of God. They start teaching something contrary to what you have been taught. And let me just say, you better watch out and stay away. Stay away from that teaching. Let me read verse 18 again. Such people are not serving Christ our Lord. They are serving their own personal interests. By smooth talk and glowing words, they deceive innocent people. Come on, dads. Come on, dads. Tell your 17-year-old daughters what 17-year-old boys think about. They think about their own interests. And I want my teenage daughter to know there are boys who will serve their own interests by smooth talk and by glowing words. And young ladies need to know that. They need to know that. Talking about how gorgeous you are and how I can't think about anything but you. You're just all over my mind. And then I just can't wait to grow old with you. Making plans for your, watch out. Serving their own personal interests. Come on, all you dads with daughters are going, yep, I'm watching your heads. You're just shaking them right back. We're to serve Christ, not our own interest. When you're looking for a young man, and dads, you teach your daughters this, they need to be way more concerned about Jesus than you. Because if they're just concerned about you, then it's all about their personal interest. See, we got to make the word applicable to every day of our life. It's got to be applicable. Everyone wants to be known for something. What are you known for? I mean, are you known because you're good at basketball? Are you known because of the money you got or how talented you are or how popular you are or how big a house you have or what kind of car you drive? As Christians, we need to be known for our obedience to the Lord. Come on, are you hearing that this morning? Obedience means compliant with an order, a request, or submission to someone's authority. We've got to be known because we're submitted to the master, we're obedient to someone other than ourselves. Because ourselves kind of can get off a little bit. But when we start really going back and looking at what God said about this, we can get right back on track. There's an obedience that we've got to walk in. Matthew 28. Y'all know this. You've probably heard it, the Great Commission. Jesus came and told his disciples that I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to what? Obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always. The Great Commission, church, hear me today. And I don't want to get a letter about this, but hear me. It's not about getting people saved. It's about holiness. God wants the world to know Jesus so that they can obey his commands. And if we stop at salvation and we don't teach holiness, we've got a problem. We've got to teach people to obey. And the church is not teaching people to obey. 2 Corinthians 7:1, because we have these promises, dear friends, let us cleanse ourselves from everything that can defile our body or spirit, and let us work toward complete holiness. Holiness is obedience to the Lord. Holiness is obeying him. Jude, verse 4. Jude, right before Revelation, turn there with me. I'll make sure we got this verse this year. Jude, verse 4. Might want to highlight this. We'll be talking about this more over the next few weeks. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they have denied our Master and Lord Jesus Christ, our only Master. They say, the ones that have wormed their way into the churches, you better watch when someone says this, that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. Church, God's grace does not allow you to live an immoral life. He calls you out of that life. That's not the life you live. Got a question for you today. If the war on poverty is worth fighting, how much more should the war on sin be worth? There are very few verses in Scripture that talk about taking care of the needy, the ones who are in poverty. But if you were to listen to people teaching on the Christian faith, you'd think that was the primary theme. There are hundreds upon hundreds of verses in Scripture about being holy, being pure, doing the right thing, and following Christ. But basically, there's a few verses on taking care of the needy, but those are the ones that you hear about in every church you go to. Because we've quit teaching obedience to the Lord. Let me stop and say this, just so I, because I'm looking at some faces going, I'm not against feeding the hungry. Please know that. I'm not against that. We need to be doing that. What I'm saying is we've left the message of getting right daily with the Lord, and we just talk about what we're doing, talking about what our ministry is. See, this isn't an easy message for the church, but it's real easy about saying we need to go feed the hungry. That's an easy one to teach. But being obedient to the Lord, raising your children up to live a godly lifestyle, telling our church that the world has the wrong answer and we have the right one, and we need to step up and tell them. See, that's not easy. Our number one focus as a church has got to be living obedient lives before the Lord. What is your area of ministry? What is your area of service? If you were to win Miss America, what would be your soapbox? Some of you are going, I don't relate to that at all. Well, then I'm not talking to you. But if someone were to win Miss America, what would be the soapbox? Had you won it several years ago, what would be your soapbox? What would be what this is me? See, what is it? Would it be that I am called to a holy life? Because that's not what you hear people talking about their soapbox. Living in holiness. We look at our churches the world over, and what identifies a church is oftentimes their outreaches, their bus programs, their feeding the homeless and the needy and the ones that are in poverty, their drug rehab programs, their helping with rent and utilities. We get calls weekly on someone trying to get some help with rent or utility bills. After school programs, street witnessing, cowboy churches, rodeo ministries, relationship counseling, marriage help, crisis counseling, financial problems to help with those that are in need for debt issues, and pregnancy crisis centers, jail ministries, gas vouchers, job placement opportunities. Why, I just go on and on and on, and that's what churches are preaching on, teaching on, and making their emphasis. And what I'm telling you is the church has got to get back to teaching holiness. That's what's got to, there are verses that back up all of these ministries. So please don't think that I'm against them. We need to be doing that. But we can't get caught up on these one or two verses and not talk about holiness and living a godly life and right living and teaching our kids to think right. The church is looked at as good as long as it's addressing social issues in our society. But when the church says that's sin and we're not doing that, then they're outcast. We have lost the desire in the Christian life to live right. That's what's happened. And to raise our children to live right and to teach them to live right. See, we're not having gender reveal parties anymore. Well, I just know that some of the people in our church did. Great. But if you look at society and you study this, they're telling people now in the world, don't have gender reveal parties because the child needs to get old enough and decide what gender they are on their own. Read. It's amazing. We pat ourselves as a church on the back because we're feeding the hungry, but we don't know which bathroom to use. And we don't know whether to eat laundry detergent or wash our clothes with it. And then we're asking those people to give us their view on whether or not we should have guns. I wasn't going to say that, but I just thought I'd throw it in there. That's nowhere in my notes. You can write me on that one. I'm not against giving coach to the homeless. Please hear me. But we've got to have our children and teach them, baby, you're a girl. And this is how a girl walks. And this is how a girl acts. God formed you a girl, and he placed that in you long ago. And you need to know that he intends for you to walk as a girl. Someone has got to say that. And when the church doesn't say it, let me tell you, society's not going to. See, the church has got to be different. Look carefully how you walk. Ephesians 5:4. Let this kind of thing come out of your mouth or not come out of your mouth. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes. These aren't for you. What's for you is being thankful to God. Here's what I want you to watch. As you watch people here at CMC start living obedient to the Lord, You can start watching peace, joy, in whatever they're in, whatever they're faced with. You will see God's presence filling their life, wherever they are. So let's just talk about obedience a little bit, because that's what I want. I want peace, joy, following me wherever I'm at. I want that to be what people see. We talk about obedience, and when you start talking to someone younger about obedience, they think, oh, great, this is going to ruin my life. Obedience, that means that I can't have any fun. All that you are looking for, working for, and hunting for comes as a result of an obedient life, whatever it is. See, if you want bigger, if you want better, and you want newer, here's what you need to know. People as Christians should not want a house for any other reason than to keep us from having to sleep outside. But we got people who they can't think about anything else but buying a house. Follow me here for a second so you don't get in the ditch here. A car is not ever bought to keep us from walking. A car is bought because it does something inside of us. I can't wait for this car. Let me just tell you, things will never provide joy, satisfaction, contentment, peace. And what you are wanting in a new car will not ever provide you what that dealer or what that commercial says it will. It won't, because you'll spill your drink in it within the first week. And your kids will throw wrappers on the floor that you're going to find when you sell it years later. It just never will supply what you're looking for. But if you look at 100%, there is zero out there that says, buy this car, it'll get you from point A to point B and back to point A. You don't ever see that. What you see is this inspirational story. Buy this Chevy SUV, one of my favorite commercials out there, man. Buy this Chevy SUV. And they start looking at it, and it's just sleek, and it looks wonderful, and all this. Well, let's check out what's inside. And they open the door, and there's mom. Mom's in the car! Yeah, we thought we'd just show you how special this car was. It brings mom to your house. Some people, that's a good thing. Me. A car doesn't bring joy in life, but they'll tell you it brings prestige, satisfaction. It brings mom. I can't believe you brought mom here all the way from. See, we're not talking about getting from home to work. We're talking about everything. The commercials try to tell you it provides something that it will never provide. And so you get it because you think it's going to provide you something. And a few months, you're so surprised. It's not bringing me everything that commercial said it would. Mom's never in my car. The commercial says, though, if you buy it, it'll provide you something. But come on, church. The car was never provided to provide you contentment, joy, peace. That wasn't ever. But our society is programming how we think. Are you getting this? I got to have this house. I got to have this. I'm for a nice car. Just don't buy it thinking something was going to be provided for you that it was never intended to provide. I like a car that runs. Now, I like the little trinkets that sometimes it offers too, but not because it all of a sudden is going to provide me joy and peace. So we got to get that. We're in a society, though, that's telling us something different. If you just had this house, it'll produce something for you. So you buy a house, and it doesn't do what you were wanting in your marriage. Some of you, this is not a time to elbow. The only thing that provides that life, come on, Christian people, it's an obedience to the Lord. That's it. That's what, following the programming of this world and following what the world is programming you to think will have you fighting your whole life looking for something that you're never going to find until you're obedient to the Lord, until you just start doing the right thing with your money. according to the word of God, until you start doing the right thing in your home, until you start doing the right thing, and all of that follows in line with obedience to the Lord. That's what it amounts to. Stuff will not ever do for you what God will do. When you start looking at your life as lived obedient to God, then you start enjoying the home that you're in. See, that's when you start enjoying the life that God has. That's when you can enjoy your laundry detergent. That's when, correctly, that's when you can enjoy your cologne. You know, cologne commercials. Oh. It reminds me of something that people older than me, Calgon. It takes me away. You want to get taken away, then you get a hold of who the Lord can be in your life. And there'll be a taken away one day that you've never thought, dreamed, experienced, because God's got things prepared for you. Come on, as a Christian, that Calgon will never provide. Some of you, I don't know what Calgon, it's an old commercial. But when you're looking for something to produce what only a relationship with the Lord can produce, see, we got to find our satisfaction in the Lord. People are looking for a job to satisfy them. And so they'll get a job and they'll keep it for 6 months. The next thing you know, they've lost it or they're not content. Boy, they were thrilled the first day they were there. 6 months later, out of here, looking for a new job, and they leave right before their first promotion would have ever happened. And they never get the promotions they would like to have because they can't stay at a job. See, you got to understand that you got to live in pursuit for a relationship with the Lord and not look for things in this life to do something that they were never intended to do. I go to my job for a paycheck, and I go to the Lord for my contentment. See, what we're just, are you getting this today? Genesis chapter 1 and 2, you don't have to turn there, just let's talk about it. Obedience to the Lord gets you set up for the blessed life. Come on, how many are wanting the blessed life? I'm all about it. Obedience to the Lord gets you set up for the blessed life. That's what the Garden of Eden is. It's obedience to the Lord. And the only thing that gets you thrown out of the garden is disobedience. And if you want thrown out of the blessed life, then just walk in disobedience. You want to live the blessed life? Live obedient to the Lord. I don't want to live in the thistles. Therefore, I put my hand to the yard and my lawnmower out there. I mean, I'm going to work to have the blessed life. Are you ready to work to have the blessed life? Then you make sure and do the right thing and stay innocent when the wrong things surface. And let the Holy Spirit reveal, okay, I got to make a change here. When you live disobedient to the Lord, you live in the thistles. Nobody likes the thistles. They're not fun. But when you live obedient to the Lord, then you do the right thing. Are you getting how Romans 16 can be just an avenue for us to live life? Handful of verses here to support that. Deuteronomy 12. It says, be careful to obey all my commands so that all will go well with you and your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and pleasing to the Lord your God. 2 Corinthians 10, we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to what? Obey Christ. And after you have become fully obedient, we punish everyone who remains disobedient. Exodus 19. Now, if you obey me and keep my covenant, you will be my own special treasure from among all the peoples of the earth. I like that. Exodus 23. If you are careful to obey him, follow all my instructions, then I will be an enemy to your enemies, and I will oppose those who oppose you. Have you got anybody opposing you? Come on, get obedient to God and let your enemy be his enemy. Or you can get it all set back right because somebody just made a bad decision or thinking wrong. But when we're obedient to the Lord, he reveals that. He reveals that. Job 36, if they listen and obey God, they will be blessed with prosperity throughout their lives. All their years will be pleasant. I like that. See, I'm just quoting scripture. Church, obedience is not a bad word. Aren't you glad? Obedience is not a bad word. It won't destroy your chances of having fun. Obedience, Joshua 1 says, don't deviate from my instruction. Don't deviate from my instruction. Be obedient. Don't deviate from it. Be obedient. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Are you hearing me today? Obedience is the key to the blessed life, to the abundant life. Jesus said, I have come so that you could have life and life more abundant. Now, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, how do we fight that? We fight that out of obedience to the Lord, and then we get him fighting our battles with us. And us and him together are unstoppable because the kingdom of God is going to be furthered, and he's just looking for a few people who will say, I'm there. Come on, I'm there. God, I'm here. How many of y'all say, that's me? I'm here. I'm going to be obedient. You can count on me, God. I'm going to be obedient in my home. I'm going to be obedient with my kids. I'm going to be obedient here. I'm going to be obedient there with my spouse. I mean, come on, there's marriages falling apart right and left. If you'll get obedient to the Lord, then you'll get a hold of a picture that your spouse was never supposed to provide what you were looking for your spouse to provide. Your spouse was never meant for that. God was meant for that. And then you can walk in your home and have a smile on your face and appreciate your marriage. But when you're looking for your marriage to provide something only God's going to provide, you're going to be frustrated all the time. And then you're going to try out another wife, and then you're going to try out another wife, then you're going to try to, and before long you realize a wife's never going to provide for you what you're looking for her to provide. But when God starts providing for that, you can be really thankful for your wife. It's obedience to the Lord in every area of life that then you can see the abundant blessings start.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.